Is the button on? Good morning, everyone. Good morning to those who are here with us together in the church, and good morning to those who will be listening. Praise God for such a wondrous and beautiful time we have with the Lord today. Today, we're back to suggested wearing masks because of difficulties in our area. So I just hope that doesn't reduce the joy of being together today. Also, just a reminder, we will not be having morning tea together this morning, so just to let you know. But we are very pleased to welcome Stephen Gibson and Susie, who have returned to visit us today, and Stephen will be bringing us the message, The Life of the Spirit, which is a really exciting message for all of us and a wondrous one. And just a reminder that our mission focus for June is Kim Patterson serving in the county of Dublin in Ireland, and of course the prison ministry and prison chaplaincy in Anglicare. So keep those in mind in your prayers and thoughts this week. So for now, we're going to worship and join together in song. And our song worships and glorifies Jesus. Praise be to God the Father for what he has given us. Praise be to Jesus for all that he has done for us. So Lord has given us a wondrous Redeemer and Saviour. And so we're going to stand together and join in with the music team in singing Worthy of All Praise.
Miss
Would you be seated? We've come together to meet with God and to take part in the building of his church, his family, his church, his people. Christ himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. By his wounds we have been healed. So just please join with me now in this next prayer to acknowledge our failure to serve him as he deserves and return to the Lord with repentance and faith, praying together. Heavenly Father, you have loved us with an everlasting love, but we have often gone our own way and rejected your will for our lives. We are sorry for our sins and turn away from them. For the sake of your Son who died for us, forgive us, cleanse us, and change us. By your Holy Spirit, enable us to live for you and to please you in every way. For the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is God's love towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. God therefore forgives you in Jesus Christ, who shed his blood for us. Amen. Give praise to the Lord. Call on his name. Make known among the nations what he has done. And we're about to hear from God's word, but before we do, just let us commit this to prayer. Heavenly Father, give us faith to receive your word, understanding to know what it means, and the will to put it into practice. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So Brian is going to bring our readings this morning.
Well, good morning, everyone. Our reading this morning is from Acts chapter 1, verses 1 to 8. Acts chapter 1, verses 1 to 8. In my former book, Theophilus wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven. After giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen, after his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift of my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Then they gathered around him and asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Our second reading is from Romans chapter 8, verses 1 to 17. Romans 8, 1 to 17. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it is not to the flesh, to live according to it. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves, so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you receive brought about your adoptions to sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Would you please stand as we affirm what we believe in? The belief of our faith, Christ, God, and his Holy Spirit. We're using the words today in Colossians. Please join me. Christ is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from the dead, so that in everything he might have supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Amen. Please be seated as Stephen comes to give us the message.
Well, it's very lovely for Susie and I to be back here at Abbotsford. And for those who haven't met us before, my name's Stephen Gibson. I presently work for Anglicare, and my job is to be in charge of what they call health and justice chaplaincy. That means all the chaplains, 36 of them, who work across hospitals and prisons, juvenile justice and police. And that's my day job. But today we're going to be thinking a little bit about the Holy Spirit, the life of the Spirit, as it says on the screen there. And I want to just start with a question for all of us to think about, and then I'm going to pray. Where is Jesus now? Where is Jesus now? Let's pray. Dear Lord, we do pray that you will speak to us through your word today. Thank you that you have not left us alone, but have sent to us the Spirit. And we pray, dear Lord, that you will continue to do your wonderful work in our lives through your Spirit to make us more like the Lord Jesus every day. And we ask it in his name. Amen. So where is Jesus now? Everywhere? That's true. Here? That's true. In here, says Brian, that's true as well. In one sense, to be very literal, on the front of your news sheet it says it's 3 Sundays since Trinity, it's 4 Sundays since Pentecost, and 5 Sundays, or plus 3 days, from Ascension. And we remember that Jesus ascended into heaven, he sits at the Father's right-hand side, and he has sent the Spirit. He has sent the Spirit. He has sent the Spirit. So Jesus said, it is better for me, it's better for you that I go away, he said to his disciples. They're a bit shocked by that. It's better that I go away because I'm going to send the Spirit. Jesus actually couldn't be in two places at once while he was on earth. He can now be in Abbotsford and Miranda and Nepal all at the same time. In fact, just after the resurrection, he said to one of the women at the tomb, do not continue to hold on to me physically because I need to ascend to the Father and send the Spirit. And that's what the ascended Jesus has done. He has sent the Spirit. Here's a little timeline. Do you like timelines? Jesus died, rose again, and then for 40 days appeared to his disciples, and then Pentecost means 50 days on he ascends into heaven and sends his Spirit. And so the first reading we had today from the book of Acts reminds us, Jesus said, don't leave the city until you receive the Holy Spirit. And then you'll be my witnesses throughout all of the world. You'll be my witnesses. The Apostles' Creed says, I believe in the Holy Spirit. And the Nicene Creed adds, I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. The Father and the Son send the Spirit. And in fact, in the Romans passage we had today in verse 9, it says, the Spirit is Jesus' Spirit is sent to us. Now, I think in the church, there's two groups of people. There's some people who have forgotten to mention the Holy Spirit at all. And there's others who almost all they want to talk about is the Holy Spirit. I think we need to strike a balance between the two. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity, and he continues the work of Jesus. Who's seen this old movie, Dead Poets Society? Most people seen that movie? Great fun movie, great fun movie. Robin Williams, plays, I just said the former Archbishop of Canterbury's name. Robin Williams plays a new poetry teacher who comes to a pretty snooty private school, and he gets out the children, the boys, to open their textbook. He said, I want you to get out your poetry textbook and I want you to tear out the first chapter because it's rubbish. Be gone, first chapter, he says. Because he is a new poetry teacher who's going to take a whole new slant on things. That is not the way the Holy Spirit works. Okay? The Holy Spirit continues the work of the Lord Jesus. There is no discontinuity between the work of Jesus and the work of the Spirit. In fact, there's a Christian author recently brought out a book on the Holy Spirit called Jesus Continued, to make the point. And that was in our passage today. When Luke opens his second book, the book of Acts, after his gospel, he writes to his patron and he says, in my first letter, my first book, I wrote about all Jesus began to do and teach. The implication of that is, what will the book of Acts be? Everything Jesus continues to do, do you see? Continues to do through the sending of his Spirit. Through his Spirit coming into his people, into his church, they will be his witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the ends of the earth, all the way to Abbotsford. Okay? That's what Jesus is saying. The Holy Spirit is not a teacher of new things. For those of you who are school teachers, technically the Holy Spirit is a remedial teacher. Okay? The Holy Spirit keeps reminding you of the things that Jesus has already said and brought to your attention. When I was a university student, my job I quite enjoyed, I was a maths tutor. Tutoring is an interesting and fun game. It's basically made up of anxious parents and unwilling students, in my experience. And I remember one particular girl I'd tutor in mathematics. We'd have an hour together. The first half hour, she wouldn't open a book, okay? I would engage in what I called maths apologetics. The first half of the lesson, she would say, well, what's the point of maths anyway? And I'd have to give her reasons why we should even open the book, okay? Because maths was pointless as far as she was concerned. But in one sense, this is the role the Holy Spirit plays with us, by the way, reminds us of what Jesus has said and applies his word to our lives, okay? That's what the Holy Spirit does. And the Holy Spirit helps us to be his witnesses, Acts 1 verse 8 says. When you receive the Holy Spirit, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the ends of the earth. All of us are witnesses, but we all have different styles. As you read on in the book of Acts, you'll see in the very next chapter, Peter has a confrontational style. He addresses the crowd in the square at the Feast of Pentecost. Many of the people were the same people 40 days earlier who cried out, crucify, crucify. And Peter says to this, some of the same group, this Jesus whom you, in conjunction with evil men, crucified, God has raised from the dead. Now, not all of us can be involved in that sort of confrontational ministry. But that's what Peter did. Paul, by contrast, is more of a reasoner with people. When he stands at the in Greece at the Areopagus, he reasons with the crowd. Luke, the writer of the book of Acts, loves to tell stories, testimonies. At Anglicare, one of the things we're encouraging people to do is collect stories from the ministry. What's going on in the prison ministry? What's going on in the hospital ministry? And it's a wonderful way that the stories help change people's lives. And Luke records Paul's conversion story three times in the book of Acts. We know chapter 9 is the well-known one, but he repeats it again in chapter 2 and chapter 26. Because telling stories is powerful, isn't it? And particularly conversion stories are very powerful. In Acts chapter 6, they became aware of the fact that some of the members of the congregation were doing it pretty tough. They didn't have enough food, and they set aside people who were filled with the Holy Spirit to be the deacons who would serve the food to the widows and others who needed the food. Isn't that wonderful? That's a bit like Anglicare, isn't it? We collect food and give it out to people every week. That's what your church, I know, is very involved in, is collecting on behalf of Anglicare for things like that. So feeding the needy is also a work of witness, a work of the Spirit. And finally, a little story in chapter 9 of the book of Acts, Dorcas sows. There's a lady called Dorcas who had actually died. And Peter, with the help of God, raises her again from the dead. But while she was lying dead in her house, her neighbours come in and they show the clothing that Dorcas has made for them. And she had so impacted her neighbours by her ministry of clothing that God had worked through her witness to them. And one of the other things Anglicare does is clothe people, isn't it? And practical things of serving people with food and clothing are very basic needs. But Christians have been involved in that, not just Anglicare, Christians have been involved in that all over the place. Did you know in Australia there's 25 major charities and 22 out of the 25 are Christian charities? It's not just Anglicare, I mean, you can reel them off. Susie works for Hammond Care, St. Vincent de Paul, Wesley Central Mission, the list goes on and on and on. And 22 out of the 25 major charities in our country and our state and our city are Christian charities. Because these practical outworkings of witness, feeding, clothing and housing those who are in need, is part of the work of the Spirit, isn't it? It's part of the work of the Spirit. Okay, the Holy Spirit's a big topic, and at one stage I preached a whole school term of sermons on the Holy Spirit, so we can't fit that all in today, but I just wanted to highlight a couple more ministries of the Spirit. Are there any sports fans in the room here? What's your favourite team? Shout out. The Saints, another Dragon supporter. Well done, I'm a Dragon supporter. We follow St George because it keeps us humble, okay? That's why we follow St George. They beat the top of the table 1 week and then lose to the Wooden Spooners next week. They're consistent in that, okay? But I remember 1 week at church, there was a fellow in our congregation who's a New Zealander and they just won the Bledisloe Cup again, so he wore some sort of New Zealand jersey to church. We all pointed out to him the week later that we beat you in the cricket, you know, that kind of thing. But sometimes we as spectators who aren't on the field claim some of the victory, don't we? And in one sense, that's what the Holy Spirit does for us through Jesus. Jesus has won us a victory on the cross, and the Spirit applies his victory to our lives, doesn't it? We are champions too. We have forgiveness of sins. And in the Romans passage, we heard those wonderful words right at the beginning. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. You and I were powerless to find forgiveness, weakened by our sinful human nature, but God sent his Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. And the Holy Spirit now applies that forgiveness to our lives. If you like, the objective becomes subjective. God's love is seen objectively in the events of Easter. But the Spirit pours the love of God into our lives through the events of Easter. So the Spirit applies that work to us. Another thing that he does is sets us free from the slavery to sin. By the way, in the Southern Cross, there's articles about our new Archbishop Kanishka, and he's got a wonderful testimony growing up as someone who was a Buddhist and then becomes a Christian. And he makes it very clear that in Buddhism, you have to save yourself. It took the Buddha 500 reincarnations. How long is it going to take you? Okay. You have to work at it yourself. But Kanishka came to that point where he could see the difference as he reads John's Gospel, which helped convert him, that I need help from outside, don't I, to apply it to my life, and the Spirit applies it to your life. Both forgiveness of sins and to be set free from the slavery of sin. Most Australians are shocked to discover that they're slaves of sin. In fact, most Australians don't believe in sin anymore, do they? Except on the rugby league field when we send people to the sin bin, don't we? But with the exception of there, we hardly ever talk about sin in our culture at all, do we? And we're all convinced we're all good. There's a few bad people. We've put them in Long Bay jail, but the rest of us are okay. That's what we think. If that's true, how do they fill the news every night? But anyway, but it's always been the same. when Jesus was talking to the crowd, he said, "You are slaves of sin," he says to his own countrymen. And they proudly say, "We've never been slaves of anyone." Really? I mean, there were Roman soldiers just walking down the road. They were presently slaves to the Roman Empire. I once sat in Long Bay Jail with a guy who told me he was a good man, even though he's in there for his third offence. And he was... Denial is a very powerful thing, isn't it? Most people in jail aren't like that, actually. Most people in jail actually realise they are sinners. But I think more of your friends who and your relatives who don't come to church really struggle to see themselves as sinners. They think they're terrific people. But the Bible says we're slaves from sin, but as you come to Christ, the Spirit gives you power to be set free from a slavery to sin, to live differently with the strength of God. And the power to live differently is that you can actually say no to sin from time to time, to actually exercise some restraint. Say no to God and yes to say no to sin and yes to pleasing God. Do you remember the fruit of the Spirit? Let's see if we can do the list. Ready? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. Keep going. Well done. Someone made it to the end of the list. What's the last one? Self-control. Self-control. One of the great fruits of the Spirit is self-control. Self-control. To actually hold back from sinning. To hold back from saying the harsh word to someone else. To hold back from sticking your hand in the drawer at work and taking the money that doesn't belong to you. Self-control. Self-control is what we are made possible to do through the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 6 says, "Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, from you, whom you received from God? You are not your own. You're bought with a price, so honour God with your body." The former Archbishop Peter Jensen was addressing a men's function that I was at one time, and someone said to him, "What do most men need to be the kind of man Jesus wants them to be? What's the most important thing?" And without hesitation, he said, "Self-control." Self-control is what they need. To be a good husband, to be a good father, to be a good member of society, you need self-control. And I don't need to tell you, there's been a lot of publicity about domestic violence and family and violence, and it's very sad. The former police commissioner, Scipione, spoke twice at our church, and on both occasions he said in the time he was police commissioner, most major crime statistics had gone down. One had gone up, domestic violence. He said half of all the time that uniformed police spend, half of their time is spent on domestic violence. I'm sure most of the young men and women going through the academy at Goulburn, that was the furthest thing from their mind when they signed up. One of the things at Anglicare that we emphasise is, you know, say no to domestic violence, but I actually think sometimes we miss the second part, which is say yes to pleasing God. Yes to pleasing God. And we need to have that other side, don't we? The community keeps saying, say no to domestic violence. And I'm totally on board with that. But we want to say the other part is, with the Spirit's help and self-control, we can say yes to different types of living, can't we? Not all types of masculinity are bad. You know, the whole toxic masculinity discussion. You want to say, there is a masculinity that is good, and we want to encourage and model and exemplify in the Lord Jesus a different sort of masculinity, don't we? Which is really important. There was an old Christian book when I was growing up called The Fight. Didn't you ever read John White's books, The Fight? And in one sense, once you become a Christian, you're involved in a bit of a fight. Between the time you become a Christian and the time you go to heaven, there is a fight. And there are, as the Romans passage demonstrated to us, there's a struggle against sin now going on in your life. And it's a sign that the Spirit is at work in your life. About once a year when I was a parish minister, someone would come into my office and they'd say, my Christian life isn't working. I'm more aware of sin now than I was before. And I'd say to them, that's a sure sign it is working. Because the closer you get to the light, the more you're aware of how much you need to change, aren't you? In one sense, the unsaved non-Christian has a simplicity to their life. They just go with the flow. They assume they're free. They're actually slaves. They don't realise it. And it's a low-tension lifestyle. You just go with the flow, don't you? When you become a Christian, in one sense, it complicates your life because there's now a wrestle in your life between serving the Spirit and serving your old sinful human nature. And that battle goes on till glory, doesn't it? One more thing to do with the Holy Spirit and then we'll wrap up. You have a new identity. You have a new identity. There's a family at our church at Miranda who fosters and adopts children. Sometimes when you foster a child, you're allowed to adopt them eventually. They've actually changed the legislation recently to make that a little more easy to do. They have fostered dozens of children, dozens. In fact, the beautiful thing is they have their own children, they're foster children, and I don't know which are which. And they don't act in any way differently to them, which is just beautiful. And you know what? That's what it is when you become a Christian. You are now adopted into God's family. You are now part of the royal family. Jesus is your brother. And the Spirit helps you realize that you are now have a new identity. You are no longer a slave. You're a child of God. And the Romans passage in verse 15 says exactly that. We cry, Abba, Father. We did not even receive a spirit that makes us a slave again to fear. You received a spirit of sonship. And we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. You have a new identity. We've been adopted into the family. Jesus is our brother. God is our Father. And we can cry out to him in prayer. So let's finish by doing that right now. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you that in the Lord Jesus Christ there is no condemnation. Because through Jesus Christ, the Spirit of life has set us free from the law of sin and death. We do pray that each day, dear Lord, we'll keep in step with your Spirit as we go along the path to glory and as you continue to change us day by day to be more like the Lord Jesus. And we ask it in his name. Amen.
We're about to sing our next song, which is very much, I think, what the Spirit wants to teach us. Things to be more like Christ. Our hearts, our minds, and that God would rule it, everything. His peace would rule us all. And that the love of Jesus would fill each one of us. And that we would run the race. As Stephen has said, it's not just an easy peasy run. It's a bit of a fight, a bit of a battle before we get to the end. But also that people would see Christ's beauty resting on us. I'm going to ask the musicians to come out. And that we now would be singing the next song. If you please stand and join in this song, May the Mind of Christ My Saviour. Oh,
May the peace of God, my Father, rule my life in everything, that I may become to comfort sick and sorrowing. Sick and sorrowing. May the love of Jesus fill me as the waters fill the salt itself obeying thee. This is victory. This is victory. May I run the race before me, strong and brave to face the foe. Looking only unto Jesus as I onward go, as I onward go. May this beauty rest upon me as I seek the lost to win. And may they forget the shadow, sing only Him, sing only Him.
Please be seated. The Lord be with you and also with you. Let us pray together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Lord Jesus, thank you for sending your Spirit to be with us at all times and remind us of all you have done for us, and then help apply it to our lives as your witnesses in whichever way that suits our style and context. Thank you that you haven't risen and left us, but that you have sent your Spirit to continue your work in our lives and give us a new identity as your children. Help us to have self-control and say no to sin and yes to pleasing you. Amen. Sovereign Lord, you know all things, and through all circumstances of life, you accompany your people. Prosper the work of those providing a vaccine for the coronavirus. Protect and strengthen those who are treating the sick. Comfort the sick and those who mourn the loss of loved ones or are living in fear of this disease. Give to the governing authorities wisdom in their management of this crisis, and grant to your people patience, compliance and peace, generous and wise hearts, and a renewed trust in your sovereign goodness and glory. Turn the hearts of many experiencing fear and anxiety to you, that they may find that peace which only you can give. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Lord our Shepherd, we bring before you our brothers and sisters in the Middle East, in countries like Egypt, Iraq and Iran, who are frequently discriminated against and attacked because they are believers and followers of Jesus. Help justice to be done so that discrimination will be stopped. Lord, please give our fellow believers confidence in your presence and the ability to stand firm in their faith. Give them safety from physical attack and help them to be patient in their response to aggression and show love to those who are persecuting them. Lord, we thank you that you are all-knowing and achieve your purpose through their suffering to honour your name and grow your kingdom. Amen. Saving Father, we thank you for the work of Anglicare in prisons across New South Wales. We thank you for the many opportunities which are created for your saving word to be made known and for your light and truth to be proclaimed for inmates and staff. In particular, we pray for the work of Seti Latu in Long Bay Hospital number 1 and 2. Lord God, we thank you for the provision of dedicated and specially designed chapel space that the inmates can have access to every day, and the witness that having chapel is for these people in prison. As Seti preaches in chapel on Proverbs, Ecclesiastes and Ephesians, we ask that you will give him insight and guidance to speak wisely from your word in a way that is compelling for the inmates who attend. We ask that your spirit will be acting in their hearts and minds to open them to turning their lives to you. Lord, we bring before you this one situation, but knowing that it is only one way that your kingdom is being extended to all people, and we ask that you will prosper the work of Anglicare in honouring your name in the prison work that they continue to perform. Amen. Heavenly Father, we give you great thanks for this parish. We ask that you will be with us as a congregation so that we may conduct ourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel. Help us to stand firm together and to be striving together as one. Help us to be united so that we will value each other and look to each other's interests. Heavenly Father, we also have people who have special needs at this time. Lord, please give them peace and comfort. We also ask that where necessary, please help each person to get whatever treatment may be required. In particular, we bring before you Lynn Clark, Jean Steele, Kay Woodcock and Max Schweitzer. Heavenly Father, we turn to you trusting that in your mercy, you will provide what is needed. Amen. Father, guide and protector of your people, grant us an unfailing respect for your name and keep us always in your love. Grant this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Lord our God, we bring before you all these prayers of your people, knowing that you love to hear what we have on our hearts and minds. We trust that you'll continue to uphold and strengthen each of us this week in our relationship with you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.
We have some announcements, mostly that... One thing is, I'll just remind you that there won't be any morning tea this morning because of a few restrictions. We've been advised to be very careful and look at precautions because of the area we're in after having one case at Drummoyne. There is private prayer after service. We've got Dick and Minette down at the very front row, and they are very, very happy and willing to spend time in prayer for your needs. So please take advantage of that. And the rest of it is basically in the service, in your service notes, in your little flyer that you've got coming in. Just to remind you that we're not having Bible study tonight until Trevor returns next week. But the Thursday night Bible study will continue to meet each week in the foyer, so that's in the news and notes. And I think that's it. I think we're pretty much in line with what we need to know at the moment. We'll be looking forward to seeing Trevor and Rosemary return, so keep them in your prayers this week. I just pray and hope they've had such great times and lovely rest for them. And thank you once again, Stephen and Susie, for coming back. It's lovely to see you. I'm sorry we can't have morning tea together, but it really is a delight to have you. We're now going to be finishing our service with a song. And what a better song we could choose than this one. Because of Jesus, we have the Holy Spirit. Because of Jesus, we have life. Because of Jesus, we can say we are God's children, and there's a hope and a future. because of what he's done in his name. Please stand and join with the music group in this last song.
The prophets soar in ages past, light in the distant dawn, the king is bound in agony, will rise to life again, and in his name a saving word, released from every stain, and in the darkness we have heard, this is God's only plan. This is God's only plan.
Wonderful that's going to be when we're all in heaven singing God's praises. We are so blessed. God is so good. We are so fortunate, so blessed. And God, in his infinite kindness and mercy, has given us so much. And to think we're not alone, ever alone. God never leaves us or forsakes us. Just bow your heads in prayer. Lord God, we rejoice in your greatness and power, your patience and love, your mercy and justice. Enable us by your Spirit to honour you in our thoughts, words and actions, and to serve you in every aspect of our lives. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. Have a wonderful week and take care.